We selected that song on purpose today to ask the question, near to the heart of God. Where is God in that moment? And as we think about all of that, we've been in a series looking at the passages that speak, the New Testament passages speak to the one another's. Where is God's heart? In today's message, the focus will be instruct one another. Most of us have had teachers. I'm not going to ask if you've had, but if you've had a teacher, you don't need to raise your hand. Please don't. I didn't ask it to, but most of us have had teachers, or some of us have been teachers and have been given that as a gift and the opportunity to instruct others. What I want you to think about this morning is not the people that gave you that gift, or if they were a teacher and they were important in your life, that's all good. But I want you to think about this word instruct in a new way. We see it in this passage in the very end of Paul's letter as he was giving instruction. Watch this now. At the very end of the letter to the church at Rome, he says this, I myself am convinced that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Can I just stop for a minute and say, I think this is a challenging passage, and here's why. If I were to give a test, not, but if I were to give you a test, give you a little 3x5 card to say, do you feel equipped to or convinced that you're full of goodness and filled with knowledge and competent to teach? You would all write me back, and I would get maybe a few of you to say, yes, I'm ready. But I think most of us would say, I'm not quite ready to do that, Pastor Bob. That's not what I feel competent at. What I want to say is the Apostle Paul said, if you have Christ, Jesus, in your heart, then you're ready. You're fully ready. Because he said, I'm convinced. He's talking to this church at Rome and saying, I am fully convinced that you're ready. But you're saying in your heart right now, you're going, I'm not so sure I'm ready. So this message is here to give you encouragement. Say, yes, you're ready to instruct one another. On what aspect? And that's really the question this morning. On what aspect? The new heart. You ever thought about why pastors all these years have talked about open your heart to God? Where did that come from? Well, we find it in the 36th chapter of Ezekiel. If you want to look in your Bible, you can check and make sure that I've got the right chapter. But Ezekiel shares this incredible passage. And as a prophet, he said this. He said, I will give you a new heart. And then also he says these words, I will give you a what? New spirit. And as you see, it is that new heart and new spirit that the Apostle Paul is speaking to in Romans 15. He's saying, I am fully, you're fully equipped. You're fully ready with a new heart. And he goes on to say this. He said, he doesn't quite say that. I wanted to just pause for a moment and ask you this question. Where do we get our real deep-rooted faith? 500 years ago, a work began. Now, this book isn't 500 years old, so don't worry. It's called the Book of Common Prayer. But it was started over 500 years ago. And it has a full depth of our faith. Now, its new pieces are added each day. And here's a passage that I often try to just remember, because it's the place that Ezekiel actually calls us to start. He says, there is no health in us. He's basically saying, you can't find any good in us. And that's why I really appreciate those who are rooted. That's why I call this book that's held together and it's renewed, the Book of Common Prayer. And many of our unison prayers, you may not know, I don't write these. I take them right from here. I lift them right out of the Book of Common Prayer and put them on the screen. You probably didn't even know that. You know, but that's where they're coming from. These prayers teach us this one truth. There's nothing in my heart. Why? Because Ezekiel tells us this. He says, I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart. Ezekiel the prophet makes it clear there's no health in us. We have to start there and say, I need you, Lord. I need you to change that which is in me. Now, here's the other part. It's a day-by-day process. Some people think, well, you know, once I've done it, I've done it. No, well, yes, you have. But guess what? God's not done yet with you. Did you hear that? God's not done with you yet. He's not done with us yet. That's why we're still here. I've had so many conversations with people who wonder, I don't know why I'm here. Yes, I know why you're here. God's not done with you yet. All right? God is never done with us. He wants to take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender heart, a heart that is full and that is able to do things that you couldn't do in your own power. Now, Paul is trying to pump up the church at Rome and say, I'm fully convinced that you have it in you. So instruct one another. Now, we come back to this and we see some illustrations. I'll go back to this from last week when we talked about Jesus being the master teacher. We heard the passage from Luke, what the rich young ruler, some of you've heard that before, that story that's familiar to us, came to Jesus, the master teacher. He was fully aware, and he asked the question to him. And Jesus aims not just to dispense information, remember from last week, devoted to one another. We understand that Jesus was not there to just to give a new concept, but he basically came and said, I'm going to transition the old understanding into the new way of living. And it was by life change, by changing your life and creating experiences. Many of us have had that experience of actually feeling the love of God. And if that hasn't happened for you yet, my phone number is there. You call me and I would be happy to come by and talk to you about that. That is my privilege to be able to sit down and listen, because that is the most important opportunity that we have, is to say, Lord, I want you to change this stony, hard heart and make it fresh and new. And Jesus was after heart change as well. We'll see that more in the passage in a moment. We see it right here. He says, love the Lord your God with all of your, what? Heart. What's near and dear to the heart of God? Right there, your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength, your mind. And then that last part, we're going to get into it in just a moment, is to love who? It's going to come. Yeah, it's going to come in a minute. But he calls us to go above. He calls us to go above. But you can't do it without a new heart. You can't do it without a new heart, the heart that God gives us. The young expert in law was aware of it. A few weeks ago, we took a team. You can see these ladies were working harder than the men. They said, get out of the way. We're going to do it. It was great. In fact, little kids were working hard. I was standing there doing nothing. So you can see the point here is what happened. A few weeks later, another church came up behind us, and they painted. So here's what I'm trying to illustrate. It's not just one effort. We're passing this on. This building is going to get passed on to the new generation. I won't be here. You probably won't be here either. But we're passing it on, just like we're passing on this camp at Zephyr Point. We're passing it on to other hands that have gone to put great love and care. There's the walkway. We tore out the old one, put in a new. It happens. We needed to take out the old things that were there was heavy roots that had to be dug. I had little 4 and 5 year olds that were hitting with little. They weren't getting very far, but they had the joy of. You know what? Those little kids will never forget that experience. I hope they don't forget that. I'll show them the picture. Actually, they were working with me right next to me. You see, why? Well, because when we get at the root of it, yesterday after we worked here, Norm, we went home and my wife had wanted more things dug out of our yard. We have some nasty roots that had to be dug out. And you know, I hate that pick. And she said, that's got to go. I go, really? Yes, it had to go. It was dead. And the only way to get at the roots is to take a pick and hit it harder, right? You got to go deeper. You got to get underneath to get to that point. You see here what I'm saying is to get at the heart of things, we have to get into the root of the issues. And the root issue is I have a hard heart. Actually, you almost see a heart in the picture there. So I want you to see that. I actually took that picture. So give me credit here. I don't give me any credit. It's not part. The first place is I'm going to say 5 things I want you to think about today. The first one is we can't, as followers of Jesus, ever be hard-hearted. If we're truly followers of Jesus, we have a new heart. In fact, the book of Romans tells us he's already given it to us. He's fully convinced that we're fully equipped, and we're not hard-hearted. We're not. Be devoted to one another. That was a passage from last week. The other New Testament version of how to love is there in Romans chapter 12. So we're not hard-hearted. Secondly, we are real all the time. We have to be real. We have to practice our faith and be real and just say, if we don't have an answer, can you just say, I don't have an answer? Sometimes that's the best answer, is to not have an answer, because I'm not sure we have all the answers. I have some Christian friends and neighbors and pastor friends, and they've got an answer for everything. And I sometimes, do you ever squirm and just think, I don't know if that's right? It makes me nervous to think that I have all the, you know, there's only one person who has all the answers, and you know what it is. It's God. God has all the answers. Now, has it been revealed yet? No, and maybe those folks who have that kind of confidence are our help, but that's all good. Hey, here in the book of Hebrews, I want to use this in the 5 things that we're talking about to think about it. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope. Remember last week, I closed the message and said, all of us who are followers of Jesus, we have hope. The world has despair, but we have hope. Hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. You know, one of the things that I've learned is that we can hold on to something that's far higher than anything else. And the one way we do that is we learned in number one, if we're not hard-hearted and we're willing to work together, some fun can come out of it. I have a 1-minute clip. If you reach down to tie your shoe, you'll miss this clip, so don't do it now. But if you watch this clip, I want you to think about it. Now, our animated movie friends, they know how to tell a story within a story. Do you follow me here? And so you're going to meet Ferdinand the Bull. You maybe not ever met him before, but you get a chance. And Ferdinand the Bull, it thinks he's got friends in is a brother and sister to all the animals. So just think about that, and if we can play that, just that short clip, we can do that right now. That'd be great.
Yeah! It's gonna be a good one. Well, I can feel it in my horn. Hey, Maria, you ready to put those wings to work?
Hey, I just finished herding those chickens.
Launch! Maria? Oh, no. Maria?
Well, congratulations.
Maria!
You shot Maria into the sun.
Oh, way to go, Maria. Who says a chicken can't fly?
The laws of nature say it. I say it. Chickens are chickens.
Here we go.
Dogs are dogs, and
bulls are bulls.
Yeah, right. Normal.
Hey, if I was a normal bull, I would have never found this farm. And we wouldn't be brothers.
A dog and a bull can't be brothers. That would be weird.
Really? Then why does your tail wag when I call you brother? Brother.
Hey, stop that.
Looks like weird is the new normal, buddy.
All right. Only got a minute of the Ferdinand the Bull. You can watch it with a great-grandchild near you, okay? It's great fun. And, you know, the new normal. Have you noticed that word getting used more often? I've noticed that. And I think it's a reality that we have to accept. There's new normals in this life that we can also apply. The new normal is to say, even a bull and a dog and a chicken can get along. Now, our animated friends can do it well. But in real life, the question comes, what's the new normal? The new normal is to step beyond and say, I can use my intellect. Let us think of ways to motivate one another. Did you see that word there? I could have done another sermon on motivate one another, but I didn't. I'm keeping it at 7 because there's 50, over 50 one another's. But there's a way to motivate one another to acts of love and good works, because we say together, we can work together. And it brings joy to the inners. We use our intellect. Remember, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind. Oh, he did say mind. He did say intellect. Using that for the kingdom purposes. Use your intellect and motivate one another to acts of love. Fourthly, we come back to this hard question that the rich young ruler was asking. Serve one another, another one another. We see it here. Humbly in love. In the book of Galatians, Paul writes, for the entire law is fulfilled in keeping one command. We go back to the rich young ruler, right to the same message. Paul uses it here at the end of the book of Galatians. He says, what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor. And it creates a question for us. In this area of new normal, how do we know each other? It is that new heart that has now been worked on. It's been transplanted. That new heart that Ezekiel talks about, taking out that stony, stubborn heart that we have, and we are giving a new. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and all your mind. All of that's tied together. The ancients believed, when I say that, I'm referring back to the Old Testament. They had an understanding of who God was. So when Jesus was teaching, the master teacher, he would ask the students, what do you know? What do you know? And then he would bring it out. He would bring it out. Is in your heart that something's changing? You have strength. You have a mind. You have a spiritual soul. I spoke on that a few years ago, soul making. What is it that God is wanting? He wants our soul, our spiritual soul. And he wants to transform us inside out. And then the question comes, do this and you will live. Jesus, I admire Jesus, the teacher. He says, here it is. You know what the truth is. The man wanted to justify his actions. I love what Matthew does here in this text. We all want to justify our actions, but then he asks the question. Jesus is always good at asking questions, isn't he? And he asks the question, who's my neighbor? Jesus isn't asking that. The man is. He's going to Jesus and said, but who is my neighbor? I had a thought this morning that I bring out the flow chart, you know, those charts we have in front, and just put it on there and let you have a shot at it. I might do that later. But I just thought, you know, I bet in a group this large, we can come up with a lot. In fact, I probably don't have enough paper on a flow chart to print all of it. Why? Because God has given us an ability. He said, already, I know you know who you can be your neighbor. It isn't just the person who lives next door. It's the person we live next to. And if we're for anyone, we're for our neighbors, aren't we? That was the theme of a message that was used to teach us about the orange strategy that we're using with our kids. We are for our neighbors. Yet the rich young ruler wasn't quite clear yet. Who is my neighbor? Our neighbors are those of people who we come in contact with. The opportunity, and I close with number 5 saying, it's only measured, I think Jesus looks at us and says, it's measured by our action. We looked at this earlier in the series. Love is what? Patient and what? Kind. Love is patient and kind. It is agape, which is the Greek word there. It is different. It is patient, kind. And we are reminded that we are measured, we measure that love by our action. When we actually get into the fray, we don't stop where we are. We, as say, we instruct one another. Great passage in the book of Hebrews. I used it earlier just a moment ago to have you think about these one another's. Here we see it. Let us not neglect meeting together as some people do. You know, the greatest place that you can learn about the things of Jesus is right there in a group, a connected group. We want people to get connected. That is a part of our mission statement, has been for a number of years. If you're not connected, you're not meeting together. Now, it isn't just coming to worship. It's not just referring to coming together. Some of our largest churches actually in the United States now actually have more people weekly meeting in groups than they actually go to worship, because worship attendance is down across the country. You know that. I've spoken to that. But people are so busy in their lives, they're not getting to a worship service on a Sunday morning. Does that make sense? But the truth is, now you might think this is sacrilegious, but it's not. The truth is, we are better when we are meeting regularly together, because we're getting instruction. We're getting encouragement, as we see in this last part of the passage. And I close here in Hebrews chapter 10 at verse 25. The only way that we can, as we, I like to call it the, I've heard others use it too, the seven-day principle, is that's why we worship on Sunday, because it's a seven-day principle of saying we need to be together. We need to encourage one another. That's the other one another we see in the New Testament, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You see, it's not the focus on the day of his return. We have no idea when it is. I know there's folks on television that will tell you they know exactly when it is. God bless them, but I don't know if they know, really know. I don't know if they really know. But I know this. God calls us to be for our neighbors, to be for those who do not know. And he has given us a gift to say, I can be for our neighbors. I can say, I can encourage one another. Encourage one another. Let them know good news. And when we're together, we're better. In fact, there's a theme in small group ministry. We really want to see us, and we will be working on it in 2018 here in the church, is how can we get more people into groups? Why? Because we're better together. We're better when we're together because we're encouraging. We're actually going back to the first point that I made this morning, is that we have the ability to instruct one another. Why? Because the lesson you're learning right now may be the lesson that I need to learn this week. And your spirit is now encouraging my spirit, and now we're better together. Do you see how that works? We encourage one another. Let us not forget to meet together, to encourage each other, because God has gifted you with a new heart, and that new heart isn't stony and hard, because God has made it soft and allowed you the opportunity to encourage one another. Do you see how these 50 one another's make a difference? They're actually the core gospel. And you know the one common theme through all of them? We'll close next week on Father's Day. I've got a great message that I believe will be helpful to us to understand how it is that God is working. God is working every day to make us better. But we have to open our hearts to him, don't we? That's what the prophet Ezekiel said. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit. Let me change you inside out. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the prophets of old who were clearly committed to sharing your message. And Lord, we thank you for this promise that you would give us a new heart. And we know inside us, sometimes we are realizing we don't have it. But you transplant your presence into our lives and give us that new heart so that we can see things in a new way, that we can love our neighbors as ourselves, that we can love you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, all of our strength. All of that, Lord, is to your glory. We're able to do that not because we're good, but because your Spirit is good that is working in us. So let us encourage one another. And we pray this prayer now in the name that is above every name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing the closing hymn together.